Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may know that the different Gospels tell different stories about Jesus, including some different resurrection stories. Last Sunday we heard the story of Easter morning from Matthew, and today we heard the story of Easter evening from John. It was evening on that day, on that eventful day that starts with the open tomb. It was Easter evening. And the disciples have not yet believed. According to John, only Mary Magdalene has seen the risen Christ so far. And although she has passed the word along to the disciples, they are still afraid. They're still locked in a house because they fear what the religious leaders may do to them. And there are always good reasons to be afraid. But fear doesn't always lead us to make good decisions. Sometimes our individual fear may be calmed a little bit when we're with other folks. Maybe with others we get a little bit of a sense of perspective or we learn from wiser heads. But sometimes when we are together, our fear grows, and it feeds on the fear of others. And I imagine that the disciples' fear was a little bit like that, that their fear is growing because of the fact that they're together. And they do have good reason to be afraid that what was done to Jesus might be done to them. But their fear is growing and taking over. And the only perspective that they seem to have is the perspective of a closed door. And it is at this very time, in this time of fear, that Jesus comes to them and he speaks words of peace. Peace to calm their fears. Jesus just emerges. He just seems to be there through the locked doors of their house, the locked doors of their fearful, apprehensive hearts. Jesus becomes present to give them a new perspective of life and resurrection. And I've always found this story interesting and just really wondered at the fact that Jesus shows them his wounds. And it's always an interesting curiosity to me that resurrection doesn't erase these wounds. Resurrection doesn't make his body perfect again. I would have thought that. But it is only after that the disciples have seen those wounds, that they've seen his hands and his side, that they rejoice. Only after that. Because apparently it is seeing the wounds that somehow helps them to believe. Those wounds lead to their rejoicing. Poor Thomas isn't there. Poor Thomas does not see all this. And so he doesn't have a chance to participate in this belief and rejoicing. Why isn't he there? Why on earth is Thomas not with them? I mean, they've gathered there out of fear. Does that mean Thomas isn't afraid? Does he not need the protection of the locked doors and the companionship of his friends, even though they may be kind of cowering a little bit? Can it be that Thomas is the least anxious of the disciples? I don't know, just a thought. But if he is the only one of the disciples who is not afraid, why isn't he there? He's missing. He's absent from his community. If he's not afraid, don't they need his reassurance? Plus, they've got some stuff they need to do together. They've got to process the events of the last 3 days. I mean, there was a trial and the crucifixion, and then this mysterious report from Mary who says she's spoken with Jesus, although she first thought he was the gardener. The whole community is afraid and perplexed, and Thomas should be there with them to calm them down, to help them figure it out. And because he is not there, for whatever good reason, Thomas misses encountering the risen Christ. And he doesn't experience that transformation from fear and doubt to belief and rejoicing that the other disciples have. Instead, Thomas says, "I've got to see that for myself. I can't take that on your word." And, you know, Thomas says some stuff that is pretty ghastly and specific. He says, "Unless I put my finger in the mark of his nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." It's a pretty upsetting image. It's perhaps unnecessarily graphic on Thomas's part. But seeing Jesus' wounds, that is actually what has led the other disciples to rejoice and to believe. And I think Thomas should have the same opportunity to see those wounds that they do. But Thomas is not there when Jesus shows up. Thomas is missing. And it's not until a whole week later that Jesus comes back to give Thomas the proof he needs and offers him his hands and his side to touch. Jesus says, "Do not doubt, but believe. See the wounds. Experience them and rejoice." And Thomas does believe, and he speaks this strong statement of faith, the strongest statement of faith yet in the gospel. He says, "My Lord and my God." It's the first time that Jesus is called God. So Jesus shows up that week later. He knows that Thomas is missing that first time. He knows what Thomas needs to believe, or what Thomas thinks he needs. And Jesus could have appeared, you know, any time during that intervening week. But Jesus comes a week later, again on the first day of the week, what we now call the Lord's Day, Sunday. And Jesus comes when the disciples have gathered in the same place. Doesn't that sound like the beginning of Sunday worship to you? Already, the disciples are developing a habit of gathering on the day of the week that they associate with the resurrection, the first day. And they gather in that same place where they saw Jesus the first time. They gather in the same place where they had rejoiced and believed. And this time Thomas is with them. This time, he's not missing. He is there to witness to the presence of Christ when he comes among them again. And maybe it's only in that kind of community that Thomas, who has all sorts of doubts and maybe is a little bit literalistic, that he could experience the risen Christ. Maybe it's the faith of the community that helps him to overcome his doubts. I mean, after all, the community of worship, the church, is the body of Christ. And we have the wounds to show for it, too. The church, the gathered community, is the most reliable place to encounter the risen Christ. Here. If that's true, you would think that people would be flocking to worship. And yet statistics show that even among church members, worship attendance is down. And when we say that we attend church regularly, that's come to mean we come once or twice a month instead of three or four times. And we all have good reasons why this is so. I am not casting any blame. We have good reasons. We go out of town to visit family. I'll be doing that in a couple weeks. I'll be on an airplane instead of in worship. Or we are sick, or we are exhausted, or there is just too much going on for us to leave the house. We have good reasons, we have unavoidable reasons, and we are missing from the community of worship at times. And just because we have good reasons doesn't mean that we're not missing something important. And we do not deserve blame for this. Thomas is not blamed for missing that first gathering on Easter evening. But he does miss something important. He misses seeing Jesus. And so I have to ask, what are we missing when we're not in worship? What are we missing? Are we missing seeing Jesus when we're not able to be at worship? The disciples don't expect Jesus to show up, but he does. And their lives are changed, even more than their lives had been changed when they first met him. And if this story shows us the early church at worship, shouldn't we also, the church at worship, expect Jesus to show up through the power of the Holy Spirit? Shouldn't we expect to be changed here like the disciples are? Of course, we may, in fact, experience the risen Christ at any time, at any place, at the empty tomb like Mary Magdalene does, on the road to Emmaus, as we'll talk about next week. But over the centuries, the church has come to see that it is here, when we are gathered for worship, that we not only praise God, but that we may be reliably met by Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is here in worship that the community interprets the Christ experience. The disciples say, "We have seen the Lord." They say it in community. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." And he says it in the community of worship. Because these are the words of faith. These are the words of Christian witness that we learn here in community, in Sunday school, in worship, in mission, in encounters with the wise saints of the church. And that's why we can't be Christians all by ourselves. Being Christians requires that we be present to one another, that we not go missing. Our presence may help us when the risen Christ would be present to us. Worship, after all, is not just a place of information about God and Jesus. Worship is a place of experience. And so, I encourage you to think about, how often are you in worship? Maybe commit to being in worship as often as you can, whether that's here or in another place. And there is no blame when you are not able to be here. But you are missing something. And I don't mean you're missing the sermon. I don't mean you're missing your friends. I mean you are missing an encounter with the risen Christ. Wounds and all, Jesus comes to us, binding us into his body, into a community of worship. He transforms us into people who can believe and rejoice and witness. And this is where we learn to say things like, "We have seen the Lord, my Lord and my God." I don't want to miss that. Do you? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.